Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I extend my gratitude and my thanks to Pastor Alex. This is a major honor for me to be able to minister in the house that I'm being raised up in under his supervision. And I don't take it lightly by any means at all. Amen. So I'm going to start actually the same way that I started the first service this morning. I didn't have it in my notes, but I do now because I think it came over really, really good. I talked about a few weeks ago about someone who is not continuously filled is an easy target for the devil. And I ministered a whole word on that about how we have to continuously stay filled and continuously stay hungry. But there's a key here, and that key is consistency, because consistency is key. Okay, and I gave the explanation, this ring that's on my hand for quite a few weeks was been hanging on my necklace, because during the Daniel fast, I lost a significant amount of weight, and I was showering one morning, and the ring went, and it flew off because my fingers that are a little bit plump were no longer so plump. So I still wanted to make it known that I'm married, but I couldn't wear it on my finger because I was afraid of losing it, because it's a ring, but it's special. My wife gave it to me, so it's special. So I wore it around my neck. But see, this morning I woke up and I realized, my pants are fitting a little bit tight again, and like the shirt buttons are starting to, what happened? So I put the ring on, and all of a sudden I noticed, man, it's tighter than it was before the Daniel fast. I blame it on 14 bones. Them barbecue fries get me every time, okay? They get me every time. But here's the thing, consistency is key. What does 14 bones barbecue cheese fries have to do with consistency? If I want to lose this beautiful dad bod that I got going on, I've got to get serious about dropping the weight. I've got to get serious about my eating plan. I've got to get serious about getting back in the gym. If I want to transform my physical body and turn into a Larry Demerit Jr. with these big 22-inch biceps, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay, for those of you who don't know Larry, think about Vin Diesel or Arnold Schwarzenegger, somebody who's built, okay? But if I want to transform my physical body, consistency is key. Because I can't eat one good meal a day and it changed the way I look. Okay, I can't have a salad at lunch and I'm going to lose 40 pounds in a month. Because if I eat cheesecake and barbecue cheese fries and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da for dinner, it's like kind of like cancels out what I did for lunch. Consistency is key. I can go to the gym and I can pump that iron with Larry and make my biceps so sore I can tear every single muscle in that bicep. But if I only do it one day, I'm just going to be sore. You're not going to see the results from one day because consistency is key. But see, everything that happens in the natural, we can apply in the spiritual, in the supernatural. Because there's many of us that came here yesterday. Listen, how many of us came yesterday to supernatural discipleship? Wow, is all I can say. Listen, I've been with Pastor Alex for a very long time now. Before we even started this church, and I've seen him minister under the anointing with great power, with great fire. I'm telling you guys now, something was released in this house yesterday. A level was released here yesterday that I have never experienced in my life. I got the privilege of holding his hanky, his sweat rag, and going with him as he's ministering. And I wept the whole time because the presence of God was on him so strong. There was something released yesterday, another level of the supernatural. And I believe fully there was an impartation for those who were here for that they're going to take that and they're going to be able to minister that same fire. They're going to be able to minister that same anointing. Amen? Ooh, anything that is tangible is transferable. But consistency is key. Where does all this tie in? Because a lot of you got an encounter yesterday that you will remember for the rest of your life, but one encounter won't necessarily change you for forever. Consistency is key. Maybe you got up and you prayed Saturday morning because of an encounter you had Friday night. And you prayed and you prayed and you had a serious encounter Saturday morning. But consistency is key. If I want to transform the spiritual man that's inside of me, I got to be consistent in my prayer life. I got to consistently be hungry. I got to consistently come up for impartation, association, all the different realms of the anointing and ways to receive the anointing. I got to be hungry for that. And there's a consistency that must be there. But here's a key. If I didn't do it yesterday, I can't let that affect my tomorrow. Because if I get up to go to the gym with Larry on Monday and I did good this week, but then on Tuesday, you know, I was sore and I kind of, no, not today, Larry, you're killing me. If I don't get up and go on Wednesday, there's a good chance I probably won't get up and go Thursday, and I probably won't go Friday, and I probably won't go Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And all of a sudden, I'm exactly to the same place or worse than I was to begin with. All of a sudden, these 32s that are fitting kind of tight, now I'm buying new pants and I'm in a 36. I'm just talking real because I'm gaining weight and I'm trying to talk myself into getting into the gym, man. It's a personal conviction. But consistency is key. There's a lot of you in this room this morning, me included, that have had supernatural prophetic words spoken over your life about the man of God or the woman of God that you are called to be. But consistency is key. We got to be consistent. Hunger is consistent. I gave this example as well. I'm hungry every morning. Bacon, eggs, donuts. Hey, listen, told you dad bod, didn't get it from nothing. I'm hungry every morning. And that's consistent in my life. Natural hunger now. But here's a key. If I wake up and I eat a whole pizza, am I the only one who eats pizza for breakfast? Again, it's bad eating habits, but I do, like especially cold pizza. It's hard, amen, stiff. That's what I'm talking about, preach. Cold pizza for breakfast. So if I eat a whole cold pizza, that's a lot of carbs. That's a lot of sugar. If Miss Dawn is in here, she's probably sweating because like that's a horrible breakfast. But if I eat a whole pizza for breakfast, and I go lay on my couch and do nothing the whole day, that pizza will last me till dinner. Come on. I know there's got, we eat the barbecue cheese fries for lunch and like dinner doesn't look so appetizing because there's a lot there. But here's the thing. If I eat that whole pizza for breakfast and I go work and I do a bunch of landscaping and I'm lifting mulch bags and I'm weed eating and edging and mowing the lawn and I'm loading stuff up and taking it to the dump and I'm knocking out kitchens with ServPro and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, lots of manual physical labor, I'm burning the calories, I'm burning the sugars, I'm burning the fats that I took in. And I'm using those things that I took in. Am I talking to anybody? I'm burning and using the things that I consumed. And now by the time I get to lunchtime, that whole pizza that I took in, that whole infilling that I took in isn't so full anymore. Now all of a sudden I'm a little bit hungry again. Some of us get an infilling and we don't do anything with that infilling and we stay full for a really long time. We gotta stay hungry. We got a city to take. I say it every time I come up here. We got a city to take, but we're not gonna take it just staying full and, you know. We gotta stay hungry for the things of God, for the miracles, for the signs and the wonders to manifest here, to manifest with the evangelism team, to manifest on the streets, that legs would begin to grow out. Did anybody see the video on Facebook? Come on, that's a miracle, a supernatural miracle. We gotta be seeing these things, but we gotta be hungry for them. We got to be hungry for them. Listen, the beautiful thing about hunger is hunger always responds with desperation. But here's a key to this, is out of that desperation, you now have a choice. And this is where people sometimes miss it. Because if you pick the wrong choice out of that desperation, it can be total destruction or a supernatural miracle can take place in your life. A supernatural miracle can take place out of desperation, but we have a choice to make. Hunger always responds with desperation. Always responds with desperation. I've never in my life seen somebody who was hungry that wasn't desperate for what they were hungry for. I've never seen it. And if you have, please tell me, because I've never seen it. So I'm going to start off, and it's funny because I said this in the first service too. you know, I sent my notes to Pastor Alex quite a while back, and he got the notes, and he kind of laughed, and he says, you know, my boy, it's funny, because, like, you really like to talk about faith, don't you? And it dawned on me when he said that, like, I do. A lot of the messages that I minister on faith and supernatural faith, because there's so many different realms to faith, and there's so many different things that we can catch when it deals in dealing with faith that can be applied to our lives for supernatural results. Listen, we wouldn't even believe in God if there wasn't faith. Our whole relationship with Him is based off of faith. It's a very important thing, and I like to talk about it. I get jacked up about talking about it. Is it okay to get jacked up about something, the things of God? Okay, so I'm going to read a scripture to start off, and I'm sure many of you can quote, but it's Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. But by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Who in this room needs a miracle right now? Right now. Right now. Okay, keep your hands up. A financial breakthrough right now. A job right now. A promotion right now. I see more hands coming up. Okay, business ideas, supernatural debt cancellation, new hours in your job, even gas money to get around town, salvation for a friend or a family member that you've been praying for a long time, healing of the physical body, healing of the emotions, healing of the heart. Okay, healing to your family, healing to relationships. Maybe it's your home sale that you need to take off. There's people putting two hands up. Okay, you can put your hands down. There's a lot of people in here that need a miracle this morning. There's a lot of people in here that, because I hear it all the time, want to know what my destiny is, want to know what my calling is. Maybe that's a miracle that you need in your life. It's some clarification, some confirmation. Now, my definition of a miracle. Are you ready? Is God bringing order to the impossibilities of man now. God bringing order to the impossibilities of man right now. So that debt cancellation that you need, that's an impossibility that you have in your life, that's God bringing order to it in the now, taking place now. That home sale that you need to take off, and it's been a little awkward, it's been a little quiet, there's been no supernatural flow in that home sale, all of a sudden now there's a flow. Now there's the anointing present. Now, supernatural now. God taking the impossibilities of man and bringing order to it now. Right now. Miracles are now. Faith is for now. Right now. Listen, if I go to God and I begin to pray, I have a faith that when I pray, I don't pray like I want it to happen then. When I pray, every time I pray, doesn't matter how religious or how boring my prayer sounds, when I speak it, I'm believing it for right now. Whether it doesn't happen or it does, my faith is now. I want it now, because this is a generation that's going to take it by force. The violent are going to take it by force. So that debt cancellation, I'm speaking it into existence now in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Now. Turn to your neighbor and tell them right now. Right now, God's doing something right now, even in this room. Somebody got confused there. They're like, oh my goodness, he's talking too fast. John 11, 38 through 43. A very well-known story, a very well-known piece of scripture in the Bible, but very important keys. It says, Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, again, I said this, you know, I come from Okeechobee, where we do, you know, redneck things, and we hunt things, and we, you know, it's just part of how I grew up, right? So we would go deer hunting, and we would go hog hunting, and sometimes after a long night of hog hunting till 2-3 in the morning, we would come home and dress the animal out, because I feel if you're going to harvest something, you need to take the full potential of the harvest, otherwise you're wasting a gracious gift from God. It's a mouthful, but it is what it is. But even still, there's always, you know, stuff on the carcass, right? There's skin, and am I grossing a couple people out? If I am, I'm sorry. Those that are from the woods are like, yeah, I know what he's talking about. But after a long night of that, sometimes we didn't necessarily feel like loading the carcass back up in the vehicle and taking it out and digging a hole and burying it and getting, you know, a dump site or whatever. So sometimes we would just load it in a barrel and stick it in the back of the truck. And I'm here to tell you this morning that after one day, man, you wake up that next morning, you don't want to go nowhere near that truck. It stinks to high heavens. There's flies, and it's amazing what can happen in one night of decay. Now, this is 4 days, so you can imagine the stench that would be coming from this. Okay, I'm very visual. Is that okay? I'm a very visual person. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. Here's a very important key, though. Verse 40, it says, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, that you would see?" And I'm going to stop right there. Did I not say to you? Now, right there, first and foremost, the word of God had already been spoken. It was already spoken. That word has gone out. Some of you have words that have been spoken, but you got to believe, and then you will see. We got to believe to see. We don't have to see to believe. We got to believe to see. Taking those things which are not as though they are. So, because see, if we can believe it, we can then see it manifest supernaturally. That money's not there. I don't see it, but I believe that it can be done. And there it is. Because if I believe, I can see. And the word of God says, did I not say, which it says basically at that point, did I not say? That means it was already said. And this is the one thing I love. We'll get to it just now. I'm jumping ahead here. Did I not say that if you would believe that you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out a month from now. Lazarus, come out one arm at a time, one leg at a time, and we'll piece you together over the course of a year." No, 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 no. Lazarus, come forth. It was now. Supernatural miracle, resurrection from the dead. Now, in the name of Jesus, he spoke the word. He moved the rock. Lazarus, come forth. Miracles happen in the now. Faith is now. See, there's a lot of people that are still living in their past. They're living from yesterday, and they can't seem to see their future because they're so stuck with what's going on in previous days. They don't think they're worthy of a miracle because of how messed up they were before. God doesn't operate like that. There are many people, and I might step on a couple toes here. I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. There's a lot of people that are satisfied with hoping that 10 years from now their daughter or their son or their aunt or their uncle will get saved. And they're content with just, it's okay, I'll wait 10 years. Listen, I don't have time to wait. I want it right now. Right now. I want that salvation. I want that healing. Listen, there's a lot of people that get so caught up with how God is going to do it that they look past the fact that he can do it. Listen, they've got the whole blueprint, the whole schematic. They've got it all drawn out on paper. I'm going to get this, and then he's got to provide this, and then this will come, and then this person will come into my life, and they'll do this, 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 and this, and then from here to here to here and here, and that's how I'll get from point A to point Z, when really God just wants to go from point A to point B, and he wants to skip all of this. But see, we're too concerned with how he's going to do it, not that he can do it. Because the scripture doesn't say, I first have to see how you're going to do it. God, give me a vision on how you're going to do it, and then I'll believe that you can do it. No, 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 no. It says, first believe that I can, and then you will see how I will. Oh, come on, that's good. This is like, I want to jump for that one. Miracles happen in the now. First, we believe. then we understand how. I'm going to read it again, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. First we believe, then we understand. We don't have to understand how, just that he can. Amen? Okay. Okay. Are we hungry this morning? Turn to your neighbor and tell him I'm hungry. Okay. Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21 says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. They were hungry. They didn't care where he went. They didn't care how far he went. They didn't care how fast he went. They were going to do everything in their power to be around the presence of God because they were hungry. Key number one. But they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion. God is always moved by a people who are hungry. When he looks out across the crowd and he says, oh my goodness, I'm trying to get away from these crazy people, but they won't leave me alone because they want it so bad. He's moved with compassion, and then he healed their sick. Point number two. God is always moved by a hungry person, by somebody who is desperate for another touch from him. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying that this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Anybody stay here for the 6 o'clock service on Sunday night? Okay. And there's a big group of people, usually the youth and the young adults, they stay till very late. And Tater or Jimmy has to say, listen, I love you, but I'd love you a whole lot more on the other side of the door. Please exit the building so we can go home. Okay, some of y'all aren't laughing because you don't know because you're out the door right after service. But like the youth understand what I'm talking about, okay? As the disciples, they said, listen, it's late, Jesus. Just send them away so we can catch a break. We're tired. You know, we don't have enough food. There's not enough provision here for those that are standing before you. But they were hungry. So what happens next? But Jesus said to them, there's another key. There was a little saying that took place from the Son of God. But he said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. The word has already been put out. You're going to be a great man of God. You're going to be a prophet to the nations. You're going to be. The word has already been spoken. Am I talking to anybody this morning? The word has already been put out there. How do we respond to the word? And they said to him, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus, are you nuts? Look at this group of people. There's 5,000 men, not including women and children. And you want me to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? But the word had already gone forth. You go do it. Just go feed them. Have the faith that when you step out, it's going to happen because I'm going to provide it supernaturally. Out of hunger responds desperation. Depending on our choice on desperation can result in a supernatural miracle. Okay? So he said, bring them here to me. And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And then the disciples gave to the multitudes. Now I'm very visual. I'm trying to imagine myself in the shoes of the disciple. First of all, I contradicted the word of God that's already come to me. We can't do that. You want me to feed them? I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Number one. Number two, now he sat me down and said, okay, right, you don't believe me, watch, I'll do it for you. Breaks it and then hands me the baskets to go feed it to all the other people. Now talk about a hiding. Like, I wouldn't even want to look at Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus, I apologize. I'll never doubt you ever again. Okay, again, I'm visual. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. And now those who had eaten were about 5,000. Besides women and children. Faith is right now. They were hungry right then. The word had been spoken All they had to do was act on the word in faith, knowing that God could provide it supernaturally. See, this is the thing I love about the disciples, is even though they didn't get it all the time, they sometimes, you know, miss the plot a little bit. We now have an opportunity as disciples of this new millennium that we can learn from the mistakes that they made. And we can see that, listen, they doubted the word of God, but I'm not going to. They doubted it and said, we can't do this, but I'm going to say I can do this, and I'm going to stand on faith that God's going to provide it supernaturally in the name of Jesus. We have that opportunity to learn from the mistakes. Faith is now. Has anybody ever fed a hungry dog? Okay, twice a day. Okay, we used to hog hunt. We had a whole kennel full of pit bulls. I love pit bulls, one of my favorite breed of dogs. They have to be trained properly, but I have a very fond love for pit bulls. And I can remember one night we had a big juicy steak, couple of them, big thick ribeyes. I mean, I'm talking bone in, you know, when you're full, there's still meat and gristle on the bone. And I remember walking to the kennel, and I hadn't fed the dogs yet, but I figured, you know, they've been good boys. They've caught us a lot of pigs. We're going to give them a little treat, didn't we, honey? Now, how do you think those dogs responded to a steak bone after not eating all day? You think they walked up to that steak bone and turn away from it? You think they ran away scared? Or do you think they went to that bone and they devoured it? They were so hungry for it that I had to throw it in the kennel because I didn't want to lose my hand. I can tell the dog owners immediately, because the dog owners know exactly what I'm talking about. They're catching this revelation. Listen, everything can't be taught. Sometimes it has to be caught. Amen. That dog doesn't want to eat tomorrow. He doesn't want to eat a month from now. He wants it right now. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's how your faith is. Your faith is starving, and it wants to feed off the impossibilities that are in your life. So take that impossibility and say, here, boy, here, it's all yours. And throw that impossibility to your faith and see what happens. Because he's a hungry pit bull waiting to devour that impossibility to give a supernatural miracle in your life that is now, not tomorrow. Your faith feeds off of your impossibilities. And I believe we all have impossibilities in our lives. I do daily. But you have an opportunity when an impossibility comes into your life. You can now make a choice. Am I going to go to the fortune teller for her to tell me what my destiny and my purpose is? Or am I going to take that impossibility and I'm going to feed it to my faith and let God tell me what my destiny and what my purpose is? Am I going to take that mortgage payment that I can't make? Am I going to go on the streets and sell stuff that I shouldn't be selling? Or am I going to take that impossibility and am I going to throw it to my faith and have a supernatural financial breakthrough in my life? Take that impossibility. See, that's the choice I was talking about. We can go one way that can lead to total destruction. And I see it all the time. Or we can take the impossibilities and the hard things that the devil tries to throw at us, and we can feed it to our faith. I don't want my faith to look like it's been fasting for 40 days on water. I want my faith to look like that dad bod with the barbecue cheese fries fully loaded because he's been eating daily. What are you dealing with? That job, that relationship, that addiction, that healing, that family member, that poverty, that selfish pride, that home cell, your Jonah in your life, that disease, your sickness, that attitude, that lust issue. Feed it to your faith. Feed it to your faith. When you're hungry, do you want to eat tomorrow? Do you want to eat a week from now? Or do you want it right now? Hunger always responds in desperation. Faith is now. And he can do it right now. He's good and able to. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. And I know it sounds a bit repetitive, but I'm trying to very much get a point across this morning. It says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Listen to me. Deliverance is a supernatural miracle because it takes place now. It's an instantaneous transformation. It's a releasing of something, but it takes place now. Okay. But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he said, But he answered and said, I was not sent except the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshiped him, saying, listen, I've tried every single other thing in the book, and like the fortune tellers can't help me, and this person can't help me, and the magicians can't help me, but you know what? I'll give you a shot. No. What does it say? Oh, Lord, help me, with an exclamation point. I'm not an English major, but that sounds a little bit desperate to me. Lord, help me. I need it right now. Okay. There's a very important key there. She was desperate for that miracle. But let's go a little bit further. But he answered and said, is it not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs? And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. There was a little bit of humbleness in her. I don't care how I look. I don't care how dumb I look. I don't care how weak I look. I need it right now. And I'm going to cry out desperately for that healing, for that miracle, for that demon-possessed child that I'm praying for. I need it right now. I don't care that my mascara is running in church. I don't care that my shirt gets untucked because I've got my hands lifted high and surrendered to the King. I don't care how I look because I'm desperate for you. There's too many of us that are worried about what our brother's going to think. Listen, when your brother catches this revelation, her mascara is going to be running too. I hope his mascara isn't running. Listen, when we catch this, you don't need to worry about your brother because he'll catch it too. But we got to catch this revelation is of I'm going to come hungry. I'm going to come desperate. And I'm going to take my selfish pride and I'm going to take my reputation and I'm going to leave it in my seat and I'm going to come to the altar broken because he moves in a desperate and a contrite heart. A contrite spirit is the resting place of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah something. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm getting there. I'm training. Amen. Humble. Not worried about those who are looking at you. And then Jesus answered her and said, oh, woman. See, listen, he answered her, but he didn't before. If we go back a couple of scriptures here, right here in verse 22, it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan from that region cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. It already sounds like she's crying out. It already sounds like she's a little bit desperate. But here he says, but he answered her not a word. Oh, my goodness. Is it possible that even sometimes when I come out with hunger and with desperation, sometimes there's a little bit of a passing by? Maybe he's trying to see how desperate you really are. Okay. But see, there was a response because Jesus then answered and said to her, because not only was she hungry, not only was she desperate, she laid her reputation down and she didn't care what others thought of her. She was in it to win it. And he responds to that humbleness. He responds to that desperation and says, great is your faith. Let it be as you desired. And her daughter was healed 2 months from then. Right now. Faith is right now. What is that impossibility on your life? And feed it to your faith. Because when you come forward, listen, we don't have time. We've got to be hungry for the things of God. Every time you go to your prayer room and you shut that door, you have an opportunity to speak the contradiction of the devil in your life. You have an opportunity to speak a supernatural miracle into your life because of your faith. Because it's right now. Every time you come to your home cell and you present a situation and you allow your home cell leader to pray for you, you have an opportunity to come hungry to pull that miracle out of the atmosphere. To pull it out of the atmosphere. You have an opportunity every time you come here on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night to pull that miracle out of the atmosphere. What is it that you need? We got to be hungry. We got to be desperate. And we got to be totally humble and not worried about our own selfish pride. I know my youth tell me all the time, man, you know, when Pastor Alex prays for you, you look crazy, dude. You just like fly all over the floor. That's right, because I don't do it in the flesh, but I'm taking every drop of the anointing that I can get out of him. Some of this stuff has to be caught. I want it, and I'm going to be hungry for it. And when I'm desperate for that miracle, I'm going to take everything that I can get. Amen. This is that generation, all of us in this very room, that's going to take it by force. Amen. Amen. So tonight, come hungry and expectant, because I promise you, God's going to move here tonight. Every single week, it's been, since the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, there has been a greater level that has been released every single time. And I cannot wait to see what God's going to do next. And I'm going to come with that expectation in my heart for signs and wonders and miracles that'll leave the unbeliever in total shock and lead them to salvation and repentance. And then revival will just break out. Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, I pray right now in the mighty and the precious name of your son, Jesus, Father, that you would birth this word in our spirits today, Father, that we would take this, that we would catch this, that it would be a revelation from on high, Father, that as we go throughout our day, we would consistently stay hungry for more of you. Father, I pray in the mighty and the precious name of your son, Jesus, that you would go with every single believer in the house this morning. Father, every single believer that is tuned in online, that you would go with them, that the joy of the Lord would be their portion. Father, that everything that you have called them to be would come to pass in Jesus' mighty and precious name. We give you all the honor, all the praise right now in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.